Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. Again, welcome everybody to this month's Member Solutions Teleconference. My name is Melody Schumann, and I'll be your host today. The topic for discussion today is the four key staff positions. Now, the reason why I actually chose this particular topic is because as a former co-owner and operator of a chain of martial arts schools, one of the things that I experienced with running those schools is that we didn't really have a hard time making money, we didn't have a hard time getting new members in the door, but I did have a very hard time delegating information and material to our students, to our staff, especially with our staff. I think that was the part where I had the biggest challenge on the day-to-day basis. As most of you know, I opened up a school here in St. Petersburg, Florida in March of last year. We're coming up on our one-year anniversary. And when I first opened the school, my primary goal was to build it up to be a very big and successful school within the first 6 months to a year. Now, what I mean by big and successful is, of course, I was taking into consideration the amount of active students that we have and also the total monthly growth. So going into the first month of opening our new school, that was my primary focus, was really trying to find the formula that can take a martial arts business to success right away. And unfortunately, I ran into a lot of complications at the very beginning, and the complications all had to do with my staff members, one staff member in general. My head instructor and I definitely were not eye to eye. I wasn't very clear in the delegations that I expected from him. Unfortunately, I did give him way too much responsibility, and that, of course, built a very big ego in his mind. And when I started putting the brakes on and started trying to lead him in a better direction, we ran into some complications. We butted heads, and unfortunately, we had to get rid of him. So I brought in a new head instructor, but this time I figured that I was going to do it a little differently, because the first 2 months of running my school in St. Pete, I was enjoying being in the martial arts classroom again, but one thing that I wasn't enjoying was just all the extra workload that I was taking on. So when I lost my head instructor and brought my new head instructor on board, my priority changed from growing it into a very successful school immediately to having a very good staff that works together, that has a lot of synergy, so that we enjoy the entire ride, so that I can come in every day and not be overwhelmed by all the work that I had to do, or not be overwhelmed by trying to delegate miscellaneous tasks to my staff members on a day-to-day basis. So with that said, we actually created four key staff positions in our school. Each particular staff member had a title and had a list of duties and responsibilities that they had to follow through on. And I can tell you now, approaching our one-year anniversary, I could not be happier. If you are a consistent consulting member of mine or a friend of mine and you're on the line right now, I'm sure that you've heard me say, especially in the past few months, that I'm just having a very, very good time in our school. Our numbers are not as high as I intentionally set out to be, but that's okay, because that's not my priority. My priority is to have a very good professional school with great staff members and be able to enjoy coming in to work every single day. And it's very possible to have a very successful school and enjoy the ride, especially if you have the right staff members. And as most of you guys know, I'm even running three jobs. I'm a senior consultant for Member Solutions, which takes up a lot of my time. I also own Schumann Concepts, a consulting company. We're at over 225 clients right now. That occupies a lot of my time. And then, of course, running On the Mat Martial Arts, which is our school here in St. Petersburg. That's another responsibility that I have to make sure that I can manage. So with that said, my staff members have really made my job very easy, but one of the reasons why is because we know our positions, we know our duties and responsibilities. Each particular staff member has the tasks that they have to complete each day, each week, each month, and so forth, and they're solely responsible for those specific tasks. So let's just go ahead and get started here on the four key staff positions, and these are the four staff positions I have at my school right now. The number one position, of course, is the CEO. That's the school owner / chief instructor at On the Mat Martial Arts here in St. Petersburg. That would be my role. The second position I have is the head instructor role. Carlos Pacheco, who has been a student of mine for, a very long time now, the role of the head instructor. He's doing a phenomenal job. office manager. A lot of you know Jill Johnson. She is not only the co-president of Schumann Concepts, she's also the office manager at On the Mat Martial Arts. And then, of course, this is something that is kind of new in the martial arts industry, maybe not new to everyone, but new as far as people really paying specific attention to this particular role, which is the public relations director. So what I'm going to do here in the next 20 minutes of this consultation or this teleconference is I'm going to review each particular role, talk about the qualities, the recommended hours, even the recommended pay scale. I'm definitely going to directly relate it to my school, and then we're going to open it up at the end of this teleconference for anybody who has any kind of questions, and let's see if we can't help you find a way to incorporate all these roles in your particular school. Let's get started with the head instructor. The head instructor in my school, who's Carlos, his primary job or his only job is to run our martial arts classes under my direction and deliver the curriculum in the manner that I have created for him. So basically what I do for Carlos is every week I write out all the class planners for each and every class. As all of you guys know, we have a 3- and 4-year-old class, we have a 5- and 6-year-old class, a 7- and 9-year-old class, a 10- to 14-year-old class, and then a 15 and up in our martial arts program. So I write a class planner for each one of those different classes for every day of the week, and all Carlos has to do is follow those class planners to the T and deliver the curriculum in a manner that is not only fun and enthusiastic and engaging for our students, but also is results-driven. If you notice, I'm saying results-driven because in the past, I'd be the first one to admit that I passed the buck to my other instructors, just basically spontaneously told one of my instructors and my leadership team members, hey, you're going to teach the next class. It's in a half an hour. And not really giving them any kind of direction or any kind of planners. And I tell you, that's where I think our biggest mistake was, especially with retention. If you do not have clear, concise planners for your head instructor or your staff members to follow, that's where your curriculum delivery becomes weak, that's where your retention becomes weak, and that's where the quality of your classes become weak. In our school, I can honestly say right now, our classes are fantastic. We are not losing any students. At least we're not losing any students to the excuse that they've lost interest. Knock on wood, I have not had one student in the first year quit my school because they've lost interest in the martial arts. I've lost students to miscellaneous reasons such as injuries or moving or personal situations that prevented them from being committed to our particular program. And I think one of the reasons why we're doing so well is because my head instructor, he knows that his only job or his primary job is to run the classes with my class planners and try to focus on making every single class results driven. So let's talk about the instructor qualities that you want to look for as far as a head instructor. Number one, they have to enjoy teaching your curriculum. If you have an instructor at your school who constantly gives you a hard time as far as teaching certain drills or activities in class, that's not an ideal head instructor. You want somebody who embraces your curriculum, who believes in your curriculum, who believes that everything that you're doing in each and every class has a sole purpose and a sole reason, and they're passionate about delivering that curriculum in a results-driven manner. So that's the number one quality. And if your head instructor or your instructor does not meet that number one quality, do not have them in your head instructor role, or else you're running into other possible consequences, such as low retention, low quality of your classrooms, and so forth. Here's another instructor quality. Follows your direction on how to deliver the curriculum. You know, it's one thing to have the class planners, and you give your class planners to your instructors, but if they don't follow those class planners, you're going to run into problems. And I did run into this problem with Carlos, my head instructor, several times. It took me a while to get him to follow the class planner to the T. Sometimes he got distracted. Sometimes he got overwhelmed. Sometimes he wasn't able to translate the drills into material in an effective manner, so he changed it up a little bit, which was okay, but then I started noticing him change it up a little more and more. I nipped it in the bud right away. He's evaluated every 90 days. I scored his class planners that he delivers on a regular basis to make sure that he's following them the right way. And he did kind of fight me a little bit on it initially, only because he transferred from another school, actually the chain of schools that I co-owned and operated in South Florida, to our new school with all these H-specific classes and new curriculums and so forth. And he had a hard time just really being able to understand them. But once we got to the understanding that these programs are results-driven, they are making a difference, he started noticing the difference in just a few testings with his students. The parents noticed the difference. My personal friends who come and watch my testings, who don't really know anything about martial arts, were starting to notice a difference. Now he is definitely a fantastic head instructor because he's following the directions on the class planners to the T. Another thing that's very important is taking initiative on all on-deck tasks. As far as making sure that he's keeping track of all the students. If a student misses class, we do have a mandatory attendance policy. They have to call in. If they don't, they get an attendance mark on their card, and they have to meet a certain minimum amount of classes consistently in order to get that attendance mark removed. If they don't have the attendance mark removed before testing, they don't test. My head instructor takes initiative. When students are not there, he calls them or he follows up on them to make sure they don't get that attendance mark, because his goal is to make sure that every single student is eligible to test and not uneligible because of something that can be controlled, such as inconsistent attendance. So he definitely does take a lot of initiative on that. Also, establishes and maintains relationships with students and their families. This is another important quality for a head instructor. If your head instructor can relate to all the students in a fun and engaging manner off the training floor, and also have the confidence and have the passion to talk with the families, talk with the parents, communicate with the progress of the student, that's what you're looking for in a head instructor. Also, you want them to demonstrate the utmost respect for the fellow employees. This is where I dropped the ball. Again, like I said, I lost my former head instructor in the first 2 months of running my school. One of the problems that I had with him was that he did not demonstrate a lot of respect for my office manager. He didn't demonstrate a lot of respect for me sometimes, because he felt like he was the backbone of the school because he had a lot of energy. He taught phenomenal classes, and he was very, very cocky because he knew that he was very good. So sometimes that respect was not there. On the other hand, Carlos, if I step on the floor, he immediately makes sure that he brings attention to me if there's something that I wanted to add into the classroom. Also with our office manager, if she asks him to do anything, such as something simple like clean the mirrors or take out the garbage, he says, yes, ma'am, and he goes and does it right away. I think that that's just a phenomenal quality that a head instructor should have. And, of course, you want them to take on additional duties with diligence, such as cleaning the school, passing out flyers, participating in special events. If your head instructor is delegated a duty such as taking out the garbage every night and cleaning the mirrors, or passing out flyers on their time off, or helping in a special event such as a birthday party when they had other plans, and they give you a hard time about it, or they do it but they don't do it with 100% effort, they're not the ultimate head instructor. Doesn't mean that they won't be, but they're not the ultimate head instructor yet. Carlos has now gotten to the understanding that this is his school too. The clean school represents our school and ourselves in a much better manner. He's more than willing to pass out flyers anytime he can because he wants to see our school succeed, and as our school succeeds, he succeeds. Same thing with special events. He does not give me a hard time to run birthday parties, run seminars, and so forth. As a matter of fact, he embraces them and he enjoys them. Just to give you an example, we just did one of our bowling days this past Saturday. We had over 50 people there. And Carlos was probably the most engaging person at the bowling day. He had the students doing push-ups on the side if he got a strike. He was making little wagers such as push-ups and crunches and so forth with the students. And he had the parents cheering and clapping. You could see that he was having a great time. The synergy, the camaraderie, everything was there. And you know, it's a Saturday afternoon. He could be doing hanging out with his friends or going to the beach or something right now because the weather is great over here. But no, he was in the bowling alley, and he was the most engaging person there. So that right there shows me he's doing a fantastic job as a head instructor. Just to go on, you know, the recommended hours for your head instructor, if you don't really need, if you have a really good staff in the other positions, you don't really need them there all day. So Carlos, I tell him he has to arrive 1 hour prior to classes just to make sure the school is clean, for him and I to sit down and cover the class planners and discuss anything that we need to discuss. I also make him put in at least 2 hours per week passing out flyers, business cards, and VIP cards, which he does very well. And then also ask him to put in at least 2 hours per week on his training, which is very important. I don't want Carlos to get to the point where he is one of those instructors who teaches and emphasizes practicing at home and training and doesn't train on his own. As a matter of fact, I have a very good friend of mine, Mark Speranza, who is flying in this weekend to come and train with us, and he couldn't be any more excited. He's been practicing his martial arts. He's been practicing his weapons so that he polishes up his skills so that when Master Speranza comes down and works with us some more, he's going to be on point. And that's what I'm looking for in a head instructor. I can tell you I can go on and on and on about Carlos. But let me go ahead and move forward. Recommended salaries. You know, if you're a head instructor, if you're a new school, it makes sense that your head instructor is probably going to be below a third-degree black belt. And that's okay. I would recommend that you give them hourly wages and commissions based on your monthly active enrollments. But if they are third-degree black belt or higher, they definitely should receive a salary. It's almost like a person with a high school diploma working as opposed to somebody with a college degree. Most people with simply a high school diploma, you know, they're usually, or they, most of them seek out jobs, positions, and they're getting hourly wages. When you get your college degree, you become a professional. That's where you start entering the corporate world and you start getting those salaries. So that's kind of how I want to treat my head instructor. Now, Carlos, right now, he earns $30,000 a year base salary, and he's eligible for commissions once we meet 100 billing contracts. Well, actually, we changed that around. What we're doing is we're telling him every 25 billing contracts that we get in our school, he's going to get a $300 per month raise. I think this is a great opportunity for Carlos. Now, when I say billing contracts, I mean that is a membership agreement that we send into Members Solutions. Even if you have three family members on it, it's only considered one billing contract. Now, say we enroll, or say we send into Member Solutions 10 billing contracts in 1 month, but we have two people cancel. Well, that means that our billing contracts have grown by 8. This gives us an opportunity to really calculate our budget. Everything that we do right now at our school is all based on our billing contracts, not based on our student active. One of the reasons why is because we do have some students who are on a scholarship program. I do have some bartering going on. And then, of course, I have a lot of friends and family who are training at my school. And because on the mat martial arts is not my primary business or career, you know, Schumann Concepts is, I let a lot of my friends and family train for free. So I really can't tell Carlos, hey, if we have 100 students, you get a raise, because what if 20% of those students are not paying a solid value for a billing contract? They're either on a family discounted membership, or they're on some kind of scholarship, or they're on some kind of bartering system, or they're one of the VIP people who actually got a free membership. So that's why I look at billing contracts. And we can talk about that more later. Let's just go ahead and bypass the recommended qualifications. Of course, you can read this report, and if you don't have the report, you can email me, and I'll send it over to you. But responsibilities, again, the head instructor is in charge of all the classes, excluding the classes that the chief instructor teaches. Right now, I teach the 3 and 4, the 5 and 6, and the 7 and 8-year-old classes on Mondays and Wednesdays. I also teach the kickboxing classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the adult classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The rest of the classes, Carlos teaches. With the exception of our Monday and Wednesday time slots for 3 and 4-year-olds in the kickboxing, everything else is his primary responsibility. The head instructor must follow the class planners entirely, not stay away from subjects included in each planner. He's in charge of the tracking, the attendance, and so forth. He has to maintain a healthy relationship with every student and their family. You notice I say healthy relationship. It's very important. He's got to lead by example in every aspect, including his attendance, attitude, appearance, and performance. Right now, Carlos is on point with that. He takes a lot of initiative to keep the school clean, and he participates in additional duties when requested, including our marketing, helping set up special events, and helping conduct seminars. So now let's move on to the next staff position, which is the office manager. Jill Johnson is my office manager. She's a phenomenal office manager because she's very responsible. She looks out for the school's best interest. She's very organized, and she doesn't let things slide. For example, if I tell Jill that I want to create a fun week ticket that our students give out to their friends to come in and take fun week for free, and I mention it to her, she'll put a post-it note saying, I need the design for the ticket so that I can send it over to the graphic designer and then send it to the printer to have them printed. If I don't get it done right away, she stays on me. That's what I need. I need to keep biting my ankle with keeping me in line, too, because I have so many responsibilities going on. So Jill's a fantastic office manager. If you're visualizing whoever's running your front desk, make sure that they're working out for the school's best interest. Make sure that they have absolutely no procrastination mood or habits in their lifestyle. One thing that I can brag about Jill is she is not a procrastinator. She is a doer. She gets things done immediately. She doesn't let things slide. She doesn't have time to because we're running two companies. So that's ultimately what you're looking for in an office manager initially. Here's the office manager qualities. Promotes the school better than anyone. And it's true. You know, I do the pre-evaluations for every single student who comes in the school. I evaluate them. I fill out the evaluation chart. I determine whether or not they qualify for the group classes. The minute that's done, I turn them over to Jill because Jill translates our school and the value of our memberships better than I can. And I've been in the martial arts for almost 20 years now, and she still does it a lot better than me. So it works out very well. And I have to say, again, another knock on wood, 100% of students that have come in and taken our trial program have enrolled into our school. So that shows you Jill's percentage rate as an office manager. She's been able to take 100% of people who do our two-week trial course and turn them into students because she's able to translate the value of our curriculum and the structures and the whole mission statement of our school. Again, she tackles and completes projects before deadlines. Make sure your office manager does that. If they start procrastinating and they can't tackle these projects, you either need to get them up to par or find somebody who can do that, because that's very important. In the martial arts industry, it's very common to have an office manager that lets things slide. But if you want to run a professional business and you want to enjoy the ride, you have to make sure that you're keeping everything on point and getting everything done on time. Another thing that an office manager you should be looking for is for them to create new opportunities for growth. You know, that's very important. If your office manager just answers the phone, does your enrollment consultations, and does all the tasks you ask them to do, that's good. But if you want to be a successful school, your office manager has to consistently be thinking about what other ways can our school grow? What other opportunities can we incorporate? One thing that my office manager did was she actually brought in somebody who is a very well-known personal trainer in St. Petersburg, Florida. And she brought him in to rent out one of the back rooms that we have in our school. If you've been down to my school, you know that I have a very large school, a lot of square footage, and we have two huge office areas in back. Well, she rented one out to this personal trainer who trains a lot of athletes. We have a lot of triathletes in our area, a lot of stay-at-home moms, and it's really brought in a lot of business for our school, because as these people come in through our school and they go and they train with the personal trainer and back, they're talking with us about our yoga classes, our Pilates classes, getting their children involved in martial arts. I mean, I can't think of any better marketing tool that you can use than having a personal trainer bring people in who are very conscious about their health and their well-being, because they're paying this personal trainer $75 an hour to personally train. So you know they understand the importance of health and fitness. That's the ideal clientele. So that's just one example. Another thing that Jill's very good at is solving problems. We don't let things stew. And this is something that I'm really trying to work on with a lot of people that I'm consulting with right now, is solving problems. I talk with a lot of people about problems that they have in their school, but they're problems that are very sensitive, are very complicated, and there's not really any immediate solution. But if you're not working towards a solution, then you're always going to have a hard time. You are going to run into stressful situations. So in our school, whenever we have any kind of problem, we sit down, we talk about it, we identify a solution, and we solve it as soon and as quickly and as efficiently as we possibly can. And I like that about my office manager, is that she's a problem solver. And of course, she stays on top of all of our daily, weekly, monthly, and annual duties. That's very important for an office manager. Now, as far as recommended hours, the office manager should be present during all classes and arrive at least 2 hours prior to classes to work on office manager duties. And of course, you know, we're open all day anyway at On the Mat Martial Arts, because Schumann Concepts is actually ran out of On the Mat Martial Arts. But I don't think it's necessary that Jill has to be there all day. She's on point. She doesn't procrastinate. She gets all of her work done, so she can come in 2 hours prior to classes starting and get all of her work done, and everything still runs very efficiently. So it's not necessary. Of course, if your school is closed during the day and you are a busy person, make sure that the martial arts school phone is forwarded to your office manager's cell phone, even if they're not at the school, so that they can answer those calls. That's very, very important. It's also important that the office manager, again, is very well organized, because you want to make sure that if they are not working a lot of hours, they're still getting their duties done. Let's talk about recommended salaries for office manager. If the office manager has less than 1 year experience working in a martial arts field, then they can make an hourly wage. Once they've had more than a year experience, that's when you want to put them on some kind of salary. Now, of course, our office manager, Jill, is a partner, so she doesn't earn a salary until we reach 75 billing contracts. Once we hit the 75 billing contracts mark, then she'll begin with a base salary of $25,000 per year plus 10% of our net profits. I think that's pretty fair for her. Again, qualifications: must have management experience and customer service experience, must have full knowledge about your programs, they must be very self-motivated. Of course, general office experience is important. They have to have good leadership skills, and I say good leadership skills, and I know a lot of office managers that I've met in this industry who do not have good leadership skills, and I'm not trying to bash anybody, but what I mean by leadership skills is being able to take initiative, being able to take control, being able to lead by example, and also being able not to pass the buck or point fingers. You know, the one thing that I do like about my office manager is if something goes wrong, we all take responsibility for it. She does not look and say, well, that's Carlos's fault because he didn't do that, or that's my fault because I didn't get the ad in time. You know, basically, if I don't get the ad to her in time for design or to get printed, it's partially her fault, too, because she wasn't staying on me enough, and that's, again, what I mean by leadership skills. Of course, good social skills is very, very important. The camaraderie at On the Mat Martial Arts is very cool. We have a great vibe with all of our parents, all the students. Just again, like I said, we ran a bowling day. There's 50 people who showed up. We had 10 lanes full of people who were bowling. We all had a very, very good time. And it's one of the reasons why is because we are a very social school. Responsible is another quality, and of course task-oriented is very important for the head instructor. Let me go ahead and move on, because I know we're getting tight on time, because I want to spend a little more time on the public relations director. Now, a lot of you guys have been hearing me talk about the PR director. It's not very uncommon for a school not to have a PR director, but most people who do any kind of PR directing work, it's usually tied in with an office manager or the head instructor or yourself. You're trying to spend so much time juggling all these hats. I highly recommend that you find somebody in your area that is has a lot of social charisma, who just has a great personality and is very involved in your community. And let them do a lot of the PR directing work that you or your office manager or your head instructor do right now. And I tell you what, it's going to make a very big difference. Let's just go ahead and talk really quickly before I move on the report. About my PR director. My PR director, her name is Dev Shook. It's actually Jill's mother. She's a very, very cool person. She's got more charisma than me, Jill, and Carlos put together, which is saying a lot. She's just very outgoing and very social. And basically, Dev's role is to make On the Mat Martial Arts the most happening martial arts school in St. Petersburg, Florida. She's got her own business cards. She's got VIP cards. She's got an email database with hundreds and hundreds of names of her friends of her friends, of our students' friends, of people who maybe were a waiter or a waitress at a restaurant, and she told them, hey, I'm a PR director at On the Mat Martial Arts. Have you ever been interested in taking martial arts? If they say, yeah, you know what she does? She says, great, let me get your email address, and I will put you on our email list. And whenever we run any kind of special events or activities, I'm just going to shoot you over an email. People are so eager and willing to give her an email address as opposed to a phone number. And, you know, calling people nowadays has become very taxing. You know, Beth has, again, like I said, a huge email list. And every time we run an event, whether it was our bowling day or this weekend with Master Speranza, we're running a self-defense seminar, she sent out a friendly email to everybody. Like I'm saying, her friends, people who aren't even martial arts students, my friends, our students' friends, people who she's just met and collected their business card and put them in her database and letting them know, hey, we're having these events. Our one-year anniversary is coming up. As a matter of fact, going back to our six-month anniversary, We had over 300 people at our six-month anniversary. A lot of them were just friends of ours, my friends, Dev's friends, or people from the community who just wanted to come and hang out and celebrate our six-month anniversary. We had entertainment and food, demonstrations. We had a bounce house. And it was very cool because it gave people an opportunity to network with each other, to meet each other, even if they didn't join my school right away. It was a good opportunity to really build a big social event. So I think Bev is a key to success in our school. Let me give you another example of things that she does. For example, our bowling day that we had this Saturday, she had a digital camera, and she took pictures the whole time. And what she did is, if she did not have that person's email address, she asked them for it. And then she went home Saturday and Sunday and emailed every single student or every single person who was at the bowling day a picture of them, whether it was a group picture, a picture of them bowling. I just think that's very cool. We just sent up all of our pictures to our administrator, and they're going to post them in our photo gallery of our website. As a matter of fact, if you jump onto my school's website, which is onthematma.com, you go to the media gallery, you can see photos from our last bowling day, photos from our six-month anniversary, photos from our open house, and you could just see, you could feel the ambiance that we established in our school just by looking at the pictures, and it really makes On the Mat Martial Arts even that much more special and that much more family-oriented. So I could tell you, we would not have that kind of ambiance at our school if it were not for our PR director. So let's go ahead and let's talk about PR director qualities. They got to be highly involved in your community. You know, Beth participates in all the sheriff galas, the PAL meetings. She goes to Chamber of Commerce meetings. You know, she's always involved in all kinds of things in our area because she is retired, with the exception of being a PR director. But that's great because that means that she knows a lot of people. As a matter of fact, we gave the sheriff of Pinellas County an honorary black belt at our ribbon cutting when we grand opened last year, which was very cool because she actually knows him personally. She also, your PR director needs to be skilled in all four areas of marketing. And remember, we've talked about this a lot. Marketing is advertising, networking, publicity, and customer service. Well, she's very skilled in all those areas. She understands that it doesn't take just ads in a newspaper or direct mail or radio advertising to grow our school. It takes networking, going to these Chamber of Commerce events, talking with people who own businesses to try to find ways that we can cross-promote, which we're doing a lot of right now. Publicity, that's another thing. As a matter of fact, in my inbox right now, I have two emails from her saying, look, I need an updated story and an updated bio about you, because she's really working hard to try to get me not only in the local news and in the local newspapers, but also on the national news and national newspapers, because she understands the importance of gaining publicity in our community on a local level and on a national level. Also, customer service. Of course, she understands customer service just with the photo taking and the engaging conversations that she has that really helps build a lot better rapport with our students. Let's go on. A PR director should be in charge of special events by taking pictures, socializing with the students, parents, friends, and family members. Of course, I already covered that. And also your PR director should take on miscellaneous tasks, such as returning phone call messages, coordinating internal and external projects and events, and researching projects. Let me give you an example. Our school is already starting to bust out of its seams as far as the size of our testings go, because we're not only having the students, parents, and families watching our testing, we're getting a lot of people just to come and watch our testings because they're so entertaining, because our kids are very, very entertaining. So now what we need to do is find a nice, upscale location in our area that's affordable to host our testing. So right now she's researching that project, and as a matter of fact, she's already found three different locations for me. Makes my job easier because, again, these are all tasks that I was responsible for when I co-owned and operated Chin of Schools in South Florida, and it could be very overwhelming. It's a basic miscellaneous mediocre task that the PR director should be able to handle for you. Going on to recommended hours for your PR director, there's not really any recommended hours for your PR director. You know, Bev works whenever she wants. Basically, wherever she is, she's promoting our school. If she's having lunch at Yaya's Chicken in our area, she's talking with the manager, she's talking with the people who work at the counter, promoting our school. If she's at dinner at a restaurant, she talks to the waiters, the managers, she talks to everybody and tells them about On the Mat Martial Arts. As a matter of fact, the majority of the restaurants in our area When we go in there, they go, oh, you're Beth Shook is your PR director. Yeah, she gave us flyers, and I heard about your one-year anniversary. It's not very uncommon for people to say, oh, I know Beth Shook, your PR director. It just kind of makes me laugh every time I meet somebody who says they know her, because she definitely does a very good job of doing that. And again, she doesn't really need to be at your school all the time, but one cool thing about Beth is she loves our students, she loves the students' parents, so she's always at the school whenever she has time just to hang out, and of course she's with her digital camera taking pictures. And again, you know, there's a fine line between being annoying and being a PR director, and I hope you don't get me wrong. I hope you don't think of this wild, crazy lady with a camera interfering or intruding on people's personal space. She definitely is not like that. She's just very outgoing and very friendly and says hello to people. And as a matter of fact, when she walks in the door, most people swarm to her as opposed to her going the opposite. So I guess I wanted to bring that up because you definitely don't want somebody who is borderline invasive or intruding or annoying because it can be retroactive. You just want somebody who's just all in out, great charisma, great personality, just loves life and likes to make people feel good about themselves. That's basically what you're looking for. Going on, the only mandatory hour requirements that I have for my PR director, which is Bev, is just that she be there for all of our events, all of our, you know, our bowling day, our testing day, our ninja nights, birthday parties. You know, I send her a calendar of events each month, or actually every quarter, so she can mark it in her calendar. She knows what events we have, and she's always there. And again, if you are also a Schumann Concepts member and you came to our escape in September, you know exactly what I mean, because she was there the whole weekend taking pictures, meeting new friends, and you could just see her charisma and her personality, how it's a valuable asset to our school. So let's go ahead and move on. Recommended salary for a PR director. Well, you know what? You don't really need to pay a PR director if you don't want to. You'd be surprised at how many people don't, you know, either stay-at-home moms or people who are retired who aren't looking for a 9-to-5 job, who aren't really looking for something with a lot of responsibility, but they want to be involved in the community, want to be a part of something fantastic. And Bev does all of our PR directing on a volunteer basis just because she enjoys being at the martial arts school. She believes in what we're doing. She sees the benefits. And it just gives her something else to put in her calendar every day because she is non-stop. But if you are going to pay a PR director, you can just give them a small base salary and give them commissions based on enrollments or profits that you acquired due to your PR director's participation. I am going to start paying Bev. She doesn't want to get paid, but once we reach 100 billing contracts, we're going to give her a weekly salary of $250 per week plus $10 per new enrollment and 10% of net profits on the special events that she coordinates. So, for example, if she sets up a birthday party, which is very common, a lot of our students or students' parents, if they don't have an opportunity to talk with Jill and they're engaging in conversation with Bev, they'll set up the birthday party through her. Well, I let her coordinate it if they set it up with her, through her as opposed to Jill. So I would give her commissions on the success of that particular birthday party. So again, the recommended qualifications for a PR director, they have to have great social skills and be socially active in your community. It's very important. Again, I'm going to say socially active in your community. Participating in chamber events. Just going to events and activities such as the PAL, the Sheriff's Gala, you know, all those different ways to network and meet people and be able to spread the word without having to focus solely on advertising. It's very important. They also have to have an app for striking up engaging conversations about your school. You know, if your PR director, if prospect is very shy, and they're afraid to just walk up to somebody and say, hey, I'm the PR director at Onomat Martial Arts. Have you ever been interested in taking martial arts? If they can't do that, then they're probably not the ideal PR director. You know, Bev, anywhere we go, I'll jokingly say, hey, look, that lady has a kid. You want to go talk to her? She grabs her VIP cards and she's on it, which is very cool. She also has a knack for setting up new opportunities with other people and businesses. As a matter of fact, she's a local at a couple of chain restaurants here in the area, and she's already became very good friends with the managers, and we're working on setting up a couple of board break-a-thon and summertime events in conjunction with these local restaurants for their employees and for our students. She just has a knack for talking with managers and making them want to get involved as opposed to trying to solicit people. She's a solicitor, but not in a soliciting way, if I should say. She just has a very, very cool knack for being able to say, hey, you know, we should do something together. It'd be a lot of fun. It'd be great for both of our businesses. We'll have a really good time doing it. And people just, a lot of people don't like to tell her no, not because they're afraid of her, but because she just has that quality in her. Also, must enjoy social activities, including party planning and taking pictures. Party planning, what I mean by that is being able to create invitations, being able to send out emails, but not just plain text emails. You know, Bev goes above and beyond, designs nice emails with borders and all that kind of stuff. Also, she's very good about following up with people. She always gets decorations for our special events that we have and gets food catered in. She just has a knack for being able to make a take our special events to a next level. You know, all those things that you probably do in your school, all the things that I've done in my school before when I'm running a grand opening or an open house, trying to get the food coordinated, get decorations going. It's not a main priority as far as decorating and so forth, so I used to drop the ball in the line of that. Well, this is where your PR director can pick up the slack and take some of that worry off of you. And, of course, must have a knack for keeping everyone informed about the school's current events, like I said, by sending out emails to family, friends, acquaintances, associates. Also, must know how to work with the media to generate publicity. She's already sent so many different media packets to her media list and really gotten the press so involved with us so far, and we're just going to keep moving forward until we're on some kind of national level. As a matter of fact, you know, our goal here is, of course, trying to get on to the Oprah Winfrey Show because Oprah loves kids. And as a matter of fact, on MSN.com yesterday, they were talking about how the United States is in last place as far as industrialized countries that takes specific care and attention of their youth. And a lot of, in 30 other industrialized countries, preschool education is free. Where here in the United States, preschool education can cost up to $15,000. But in order to help a child or help our young children have a better lifestyle tomorrow, it's important that preschoolers especially engage in social activities and learn how to take turns and learn how to observe and learn how to effectively communicate before they enter early elementary education. And sometimes it's only possible via extracurricular activities. And what better extracurricular activity for a preschooler, for our youth to participate in, where they're learning how to observe, where they're learning how to take turns, they're learning how to engage, they're learning how to follow directions, than the martial arts. So, again, our PR director, Bev, is trying to work on getting us some kind of national exposure because, you know, as martial arts instructors, we all pat ourselves on the back, but I think that there's still a very large percent of our community that is unaware of the benefits to the martial arts, and we really want to get that word out. And I tell you what, I fully believe in Bev, and I think she's going to be the one to do it. So hopefully you guys will all know Bev Shook as a household name somewhere near in the future for being able to break through the media and get our industry the exposure and the attention that we deserve for all of our hard work and effort that we're putting forth, especially in our children's martial arts market. Let me go ahead and just move on to the final position, which final key staff position, which is our position probably if you are the owner of your martial arts school, and that's the CEO. Of course, you have to maintain extensive knowledge in curriculum development, instruction, management, operational procedures, and marketing. You must lead exceptionally, especially during challenging times. That is something that I feel like I'm getting better at. I definitely have a long way to go, but I do remember in the past running my other schools that I was stressed out every day. I lost my cool sometimes, and I misrepresented myself to my staff members, and that does make a big difference in the flow of your school. And now I definitely make sure that, especially in challenging times, I like to rise to the occasion. I work best with my back up against the wall, and I think it leads a good example for Carlos and for Jill and for Bev. I think that's another reason why we work so well together is because nobody's trying to point the fingers and nobody's trying to pass the buck on everything. So it's very important as a CEO that you lead exceptionally, especially, like I said, when you have challenging times, which we all have on a consistent basis, unfortunately. A CEO must be self-motivated and consistently set and achieve goals. You know, the minute you don't set goals, we hear it all the time, that's where your school doesn't grow. It's and I talk with a lot of people on a regular basis. You know, I network with over 30 to 40 martial arts schools, minimum, on a weekly basis. And one thing that I see time and time again are people who are in stealth mode because their school is doing pretty good. You know, they're making money, they're making cash flow, so there's not really any main goals that they have. And the minute I work with them and I tell them it's important to set goals and I help them set goals, they're accomplishing them. It's amazing what just setting a goal and going after it can do for your martial arts business. So it's very important that you're always setting new goals. The minute you accomplish one goal, it's time to set the next one. CEO must maintain a passion for martial arts. That's kind of a given one, and hopefully we all do. I definitely am a huge martial arts enthusiast. CEO must lead by example each and every day. Of course, I mentioned that. You must keep up with your own training. Even while you're injured, you have physical limitations. It's very important. If I'm going to expect Carlos to keep up with his training, I for sure have to keep up with my training, too, and lead by example. And it is funny because when I'm on the floor during the day and I have some free time, which I try to put aside at least a half hour, which is not very much, please don't cringe, but right now with my busy schedule, I try to put a half hour away each day just to do my form, practice my weapons, or to do a little bit of stretching and conditioning. I notice when I'm jumping on the floor, Carlos jumps on the floor too. And I think that's very cool. I've never asked him to, but I think it motivates him. So that's very important. You know, as a school owner, I'm sure you know, you have to have a presence on the floor. There was a long time I went there not teaching any classes because I spent so much time behind the scenes trying to run and operate four schools. At the time, I was writing Little Ninjas for NAPMA, and I just remember that I became so removed from the classroom floor that when I stepped on the floor, I lost my swag there for a while. So one thing I told myself when I opened up this school is I'm going to have a presence on the floor on a daily basis. And I do. It's very rare that I'm not at the school or not on the floor. I want to make sure that I am there and I'm a major part of our classes. And sometimes we lose touch of that, especially once we get good staff members who teach classes, sometimes teach classes better than us. It's still very important that you do make that presence on the floor. Also, you need to be able to delegate tasks and follow up on staff members regularly. This is something that is one of my goals right now, is to not drop the ball in my employee evaluations. I've been very consistent with Carlos, Jill, and Bev. Bev does get evaluated, yes. I'm very consistent with their 90-day evaluations, and I'm not going to drop the ball on that because those evaluations help me identify where they're strong and where their weak spots at so that we can figure out ways to utilize their strengths in their particular roles and also try to find ways to fix their weaknesses. So as a school owner, it's very important that you stay on top of that because that's really where you're going to start to see success in your school. Also, you need to be organized and rid your life of any clutter. I've been a purging fool lately, getting rid of old magazines, old clutter. You know, now with computers, it's really easy to store information and material. And my office right now, if you've ever been in my office, you'll notice that there isn't any clutter at all. And at our front desk, there's no clutter. And I can remember back in the day, our martial arts school just had junk anywhere and everywhere we can squeeze it. Not here at our new school. There's no junk anywhere, and if it is, it's going to get purged every time we do some kind of spring cleaning. So that's very important, too. So really quickly, let me just review some tips on how to increase your staff's productivity, and then we're going to open it up for some questions and answers. And I know I did run really long on here, but I wanted to make sure that I provided you guys with some comprehensive information that you can take along to your staff members. And I wanted to try to relate it to my current situation because I think it's very important that you guys understand that I'm not just standing on the sideline telling you what I think you should be doing in your school. I'm right there in the middle of it too, going through some of the same experiences and probably some worse experiences, and I understand where you're coming from, and I am specifically trying to find solutions too so that I can translate them and transform over to you guys as well. So really quickly, tips on how to increase your staff's productivity, create employee contracts. This is very important. Carlos has in black and white his duties, his responsibilities. I even have a list of infractions. minor infractions, medium infractions, and major infractions. And if he violates any of those, he gets marks on his employee record, and he can forfeit his raises and his commissions if he gets a certain amount of marks. So that's very important. Number two, evaluate each staff member every 90 days using an employee evaluation. That's very, very important. And of course, if you are a Schumann Concepts member, my employee contract and my employee evaluations are in the resource library under the staff, the most recent staff training report published last August. So you can look in your archives. If you can't find it, send me an email and I'll show you where to go to find that information. Number three, allow regular opportunities for growth based on each staff member's performance. Right now, all of my staff members know for X amount of billing contracts each quarter, they have an opportunity to gain a raise, specifically with Carlos, and that gives him a lot of motivation to not only retain students, but acquire new students as well. Number four, conduct weekly staff meetings to review the school operations and plans. Well, I know we all get busy, and sometimes the last thing on your mind is wanting to run a staff meeting, but even if it's just a staff lunch, it's very important that you guys open up communication. The minute you stop communicating, that's where things can fall apart, that's where problems arise. So again, having weekly staff meetings, you can solve problems quickly in an effective manner, and you're going to notice the momentum of your school is always going to move forward as long as you have good communication. And then number five, maintain synergy among all your staff members. The minute one staff member gets off track, your entire operation can spin into a negative direction. This is what happened to me when I first opened my school here in St. Pete. My head instructor and my office manager did not get along at all. The energy, the enthusiasm, there was none. It was just terrible. So if you have two staff members who are butting heads, who aren't getting along, or they're not getting along with you, you got to solve the problem immediately so that you can move forward in a positive direction. The longer you let it stew, the more problems you're going to come across. So hopefully you guys, if you know who I'm talking about, some specific people, it's very important that you start solving these problems with your staff right away before they get any worse. So that's it for the long lecture on the four key staff positions. Thank you, everybody, for being so patient. We do have time to open it up for some questions if anybody has them. So let's just go ahead and get started with the questions. Who would like to go first?
Hi, Melanie. It's Joe Puglio.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I'd just like to say, first of all, everything you say is true, because you know that I'm a product of it. Second is, when you say about bringing in contracts, we had instructor, and then what you determined his salary, and then you said with the PR person, is that total contracts for the school? In other words, so if 100 contracts are brought in, that the head instructor gets his ex pay and the PR gets her, or is it the contracts brought in by the individual?
It's not brought in by the individual. It's the total amount of billing contracts.
So you make them aware of basically, for lack of a better term, your school income. So this way they're a part of it?
Yes, yes.
You do?
Yes.
So you want to make sure they're all working together so, you know, they're all trying to hit this 100 contract goal because
absolutely.
That's going to affect everybody, okay?
Absolutely. That's our goal right now is to get our school to 100 billing contracts. So they all are working together because they're all going to get their raises and their commissions from that point forward. Now, this isn't 100 billing. This isn't 100 billing contracts. You know, we sign up 100 billing contracts, but we lost 20. This is 100 billing contracts total. In addition to the new enrollments and the amount of students that we may lose in any given period of time. As long as we're over 100 billing contracts, that's where they start getting their certain incentives.
So if you started this tomorrow and you already had, let's say, 100 or 200 billing contracts, and you started this to implement this, you would say to the people, okay, this is what we have, this is what we need, so this is the way you would fall into this game plan?
Yes.
Okay.
So if so I had 100 billing, if I have 100 billing contracts right now, and I'm going to acquire,
let's say.
Right. They weren't responsible for those. But I'll say once we get to 150 billing contracts, I'm going to give you guys raises and I'm going to start giving you guys commissions. Because 50 more billing contracts will provide me with enough income to help give them to you. Now, you notice I'm not doing my bottom line. The only thing I look at my school as far as goals and incentives for my staff members is my billing contracts and my billing contracts only. I do not look at pay in fulls. I don't look at money brought in from merchandise or testings or special events. all that extra money is kind of goes in the wash because I have miscellaneous expenses that come up as far as repairs to the school, as far as marketing or additional investments I want to make. So I don't look at that at all. I don't look at my bottom line with my staff. I look at how many billing contracts I have because that's my consistency, and that's what we regularly bring in. Because I've been under the misconception before where we've hit 50, 60, we even hit $80,000 once in our school. And then you think you're going to hit $80,000 every month after that. And no, we were fluctuating. We'd go from $80,000 to $50,000 or to maybe even sometimes $35,000. So you definitely don't want to look at the bottom line. The billing contracts is the thing that's consistent, and that's what that's what I look at.
So that's why they have to all work together, because they're all beneficial off of it.
Absolutely.
Somebody's dropping the ball, that's when you need to get something different. Okay.
Absolutely.
Great.
Thanks for your question. Okay. Who else has any questions?
Melody, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. David Kay here.
Hey, David.
I have a quick question for you with regards to the public relations director.
Okay.
You were talking about this person being always involved, especially with the events.
Uh-huh.
But who should be responsible for creating, designing, putting together all of these special events? Should that be the CEO or the public relations director as well?
Actually, it starts with the office manager. Jill Johnson, my office manager, let me give you an example, is setting up our one-year anniversary. So basically, she's the one in charge of the marketing for it, organizing the schedule, setting up all the entertainment and so forth, and then she delegates PR-related tasks to our PR director.
Okay.
It starts with me in a sense where I say, look, Jill, these are the things that I want to do at our one-year anniversary. I want to have at least 400 people here. I want to have a bounce house. I want to have food. We're going to do two demonstrations. We're going to have free sneak peek classes. So we're going to need invitations. We're going to need marketing promotions. And then she just takes it from there and runs with it.
Okay.
Okay. Who else has any other questions?
Hey, Melody, this is Rob Pushak. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Going back to the billing contracts question,
okay.
One of the things I'm trying to figure out is what my weekly payroll, what I can afford. I guess that's the easiest question.
Uh-huh.
How do you if you do it all strictly under the amount of contracts that you're billing, is there a certain percentage that you based in the beginning that you based it on? In other words, whatever, my payroll won't go over 27% of my billing contracts to start, and then so on and so forth. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And, you know, I've heard a lot of industry leaders try to use percentages as a rule of thumb. The only problem that I have with providing a percentage is you never know what the other overhead is going to be in a particular school. You know, for example, I have a 5,000 square foot facility here in St. Petersburg. My rent is over $5,000 per month. So of course my percentages would be very different because my rent is so high. If your rent is really low, that enables your percentage for payroll to be a lot higher. So it is really, really hard for me to give you a specific number, but what I can do for you, Rob, is I do have percentages suggested by other industry leaders. I'll look in my archives and I'll do some research on it, and I'll send you those percentages within the next day or two.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That was a good question. What other questions do we have? One more chance. Anybody else have any other questions related towards staff positions?
Well, Melody, this is David Kay again.
Yes.
I hope I'm not being a pain, but I would love if you could email me that same information.
Absolutely. You know what? Anybody who's interested in getting those percentages as far as what percentage of your income should be paid towards, you know, your rent, your miscellaneous expenses, and your staff and so forth, send me an email. My email address, if you don't have it, is Melody, M-E-L-O-D-Y, at ubill.com. And I will be more than happy to forward the information over to everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions out there?
9 feet, 10 inches.
No other questions. Okay. Well, if anybody does have any other questions regarding staff, your four key staff positions or staff training or for anything related in the martial arts business, you can either email me Or you can contact your member solutions representative and set up a 20-minute consultation for free. Again, remember, this is a service that member solutions provide. Myself and Renshi Ali are enthusiastically willing to help you. We're very passionate about the martial arts. We're very passionate about the industry. And member solutions has really gone out of their way to acquire our services for you, which is free of charge, which is a fantastic service. And for those of you who are taking advantage of the 20-minute consultations, I just want to extend a thank you for that. Also, I just want to extend a thank you to everybody who has been requesting reports such as this four key staff positions was requested by several of you. And also thank you, everybody, for all of your good feedback. It's always great to see what you like about the information we're giving you, what information you're looking for, because remember, we're trying to help you and service your specific needs. So if our information is not directly related towards your specific situation, either set up a private 20-minute consultation or shoot me over an email. I'd be more than willing, even if I can't answer your question, to direct you in the right place or to help find the right answer for you. So once again, thank you guys very much for participating in this month's Member Solutions teleconference. Please send me your emails. I'd love to hear your feedback. And don't forget to book your 20-minute consultations, even if it's just to book a consultation and say hello. I'd love to meet more Member Solutions clients out there. So thank you guys again, and hope you guys have a great week.